Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we present a teaching edition of Basic Gospel. And now to tell us what the program is all about, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, we're excited about a brand new series today. We're going to spend the summer months talking about marriage, and the title of this series is The Grace Guide to Marriage. There is a lot of information out in the world about marriage. There's secular information. There's funny information. You know, whenever people talk about marriage, it's just hilarious, or can be hilarious, as we try to merge man and woman together and try to make something out of that relationship and figure out how it's supposed to work. There are so many sitcoms on television that the premise is based on the differences between men and women and how they're to work through those differences in this thing called marriage. Well, for the summer months, we're going to talk about marriage, and we're going to talk about it from a biblical context, but really look through it through the lens of God's grace. So this is the Grace Guide to Marriage. And Richard, you and I have had so much experience through the years talking to married couples, counseling married couples, counseling premarital situations, and trying to lay the groundwork. And we're going to be drawing from that wealth of experience as we go through this series. So I think it's just going to be a fascinating exercise for us, and we really pray and hope that it's going to be so beneficial to our listeners. Why? Because marriage is such a huge thing as far as God is concerned. Now, there's not a whole lot written about it in the Word of God. There's just four or five, maybe more than that, really significant passages that really give us some parameters and some guidelines and some definitions as to what marriage is. But these are sweeping statements.
Yes.
And if we can grasp what God is saying about marriage in those particular passages, it really transforms the way we look at it and see it. And it helps us recognize that this thing called marriage is much bigger than just male and female in a relationship. Mm-hmm. God had a grand design for marriage that is to reflect out there into the world something about Him, something about Jesus, something about His love for the body of Christ. And so marriage has a much greater purpose, a much bigger purpose than what most of us really give it and invest in it. So if we're going to find out about marriage, like I said, we have to go to the Word of God. Marriage is an invention of God. It's not something that we came up with. It's not something that we figured out and tried to make happen and said, hey, this would be a good thing. It's not a part of an evolving, human experience. God instituted marriage from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so for us to really understand anything about marriage, we're going to have to go to the beginning and see what God said about it during that great creation story in Genesis chapter 1. So today, our hope is to look at four or five different passages in Genesis chapter 1 and in Genesis chapter 2 and really start making some headway on what marriage really is, the grand design of marriage from God's perspective. So we're going to start today in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And this is the creation of man. So it's the sixth day mm-hmm. in the story. And on that particular day, some other things had already been created. And then he gets to the pinnacle of his creation.
Yes.
And that's man. That's us. That's you and me. We're the pinnacle. We're the prize as far as creation is concerned. So in verse 26 of Genesis 1, Moses wrote this, "Then God said, let us..." And right there, we see that there's a plurality in the Godhead.
Yes.
So it's not singular, it's plural. So we know that as the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And there was some relationship bound up in that Godhead. Mm-hmm. And so he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So how was man created? In the very image and likeness of God. So what does that mean? Well, what it meant for Adam and Eve is that they reflected the goodness and the kindness and the very character of God out into the world at large. So as they were to take dominion and rule over the fish and the birds and the livestock and over earth itself, they were to do so reflecting the very character of God in the way that they did that task, that they carried out that task. So man was made in the image of God in his likeness. And then he said, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And there's a lot of creeping things
yeah.
that creep on this earth. But it says we're to have dominion over all of God's
yes.
creation. And it's a pretty humbling statement that Moses writes that really reflects God's purposes from the very beginning. So, Richard, when it talks about having dominion, exactly what is he saying? Is he saying that we rule with an iron fist, or that we just realize that God created all of these things for our use, for our purposes, so that in using them, based on the fact that we are image bearers, we can truly reflect the glory and goodness of God?
Yeah, I like to think of this as that God named Adam and Eve as prince and princess of this world. They were to rule the world. They gave it up to Satan later, but it was their job to rule the world. But it wasn't ruling the way we normally think of it, large and in charge. This was a stewardship issue. They were given unbelievable resources, and God said, be creative with these resources. Let's see what you can do with it. And he just invited them both to be fruitful and multiply themselves, but to enable fruitfulness and multiplication among all of the species of all of the animals and plants and birds and fish on the whole earth. I mean, there's a job for you.
Yes, indeed.
You know? And there's because, you know, at that time, in their way, you could say, well, if you've seen Adam and Eve, you've seen the Father because of that image.
That's exactly right. And that's a powerful statement to make.
Yeah.
I know Major Ian Thomas had this wonderful illustration that he would use to make that very point. He said, suppose there were other created beings mm-hmm. on other planets, and all they knew was that God existed.
Yeah.
They knew nothing about God. They knew nothing about his character, nothing about his goodness, nothing about his power, nothing about his omnipotence, any of those things that we have, as humans know about God because he's revealed those to us and because we are image bearers. And someone reached them and said, if you want to know what God is like, go to planet Earth and look at his creation. Look
yes.
at this humanity that is created. And if you go and look at them, then you will see what God is like. Why? Because they were created in his image. But when sin entered the world, that changed.
Lost the whole thing.
That lost the whole thing. So we were created in his image. We're to have dominion. And that is just a powerful reality to know that was
yeah.
God's purposes and his grand design from the very beginning.
Indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We are starting a brand new series on marriage, A Grace Guide to Marriage. We're glad that you have joined us either via radio or watching us on Facebook or YouTube or maybe listening to us at a later time through the Basic Gospel app. Or whatever way, we're just glad you've
yes.
joined us. We want to remind you that Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. So come be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. If you've never joined with us, we would love for you to partner with us in getting the good news of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. All that information on how you can do that is available at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or if you would like to make a contribution by phone, you can call 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, back to a grace guide to marriage. So God created man. He created man in his image and his likeness, and then he granted man dominion over all of creation. And we were to have that dominion as stewards, reflecting God's glory and his goodness out there in the world. Well, then he goes on to say, clarifies or adds some detail to God creating man in his image. He says in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Yes.
So oftentimes when we read, I think, verse 26, let us make man in our image, most of us think about Adam, that mm-hmm. it was simply Adam. Adam was created in God's image, and then maybe Eve came along later.
Yes, a very poor second.
That's right. Yeah. But that's not how the story reads. So when God created man, man, from his perspective, was Adam and Eve. He's speaking of humanity at large. So male and female, both created in the image of God. And the way that it's put together here, we see that together, male, female, together, gives the full picture, the full image, the full reflection of God's glory and goodness. It was as if God was saying that together, not singular, not man alone or not woman alone, but male and female together gives a reflection of the very image of God himself.
Yeah.
Pretty powerful.
Oh, it is. Think of Adam and Eve as the original shadow of the reality that is God himself. I mean, what a privilege.
Yes, indeed.
What an identity. I mean, this everything good that God could do, he poured into Adam and Eve, and it was only good if they were together.
That's exactly right. And that is one of the key points that we need to make. So for believers, for children of God, those who have been born again through this gospel of Jesus, through the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus, you've been restored to what was lost in the garden. Mm-hmm. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they became a fallen creation, and they no longer fully reflected the image of God.
Correct.
So sin marred that image. Sin stained mankind. And the result of that, the consequence of that, was spiritual death. And so when we come to Christ as believers and we're born again, we receive life, we cross over from death to life, we're restored to that original purpose. So as we abide in the very presence of Christ, the life of Christ, the Spirit of God living in us, we begin to reflect out to the world at large exactly what God is like. Now, when we marry someone, a fellow believer in Christ, for you and me, we married sisters in Christ.
Yes.
Gina forever will be my sister in Christ. Lois is forever your sister in Christ. And that is a higher relationship than what we have as husband and wife.
Yes.
But when we come together as husband and wife, then together we reflect the full image of God. Mm-hmm. Powerful, isn't it?
Sure is.
That's the story. And that's the way God designed
it. And notice that this doesn't denigrate people who are single.
No.
As saved people, each of us bear the image of God. But when you have a marriage, there is a higher level of that shadow that is now able to be seen.
That's right.
That's the purpose. It's not that you only have value married. That's not it at all. It's the glory that we bring to God can be even greater. Yeah,
there's
in the
a design. There's
yes.
something that God infused into the marriage relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to this later on, and we're going to spend a lot of time on this. But as Paul talks about marriage, he says, you know, but I'm really not talking about marriage.
Correct.
I'm talking about Christ's relationship with the church. Mm-hmm. So when we come together as husband and wife, then this relationship, and this is what God has invested in it, is that this relationship, Christian husband, Christian wife, together will reflect, will give the world a taste of what God's love in Christ is for his bride, the body, the church
yes.
of Jesus Christ. So, like I said, we'll definitely get to that in great detail. So, we're going to keep moving through the book of Genesis. And in verse 28, it says this, and God blessed them.
Yeah.
So, he created Adam and Eve, he created male, female, and then he looked down and blessed them. What a great verse. And God blessed them. And then he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish and of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God blessed Adam and Eve. God blessed his creation, and we were the highest of that creation. We were the pinnacle. We were his prize. Why? Because he created us alone in his image. He didn't
yes.
create anything else in his image. Certainly, when we look out there in the world, we see the animal kingdom. We see the plant kingdom. We see some attributes of God. But we don't see his real character. And it's through us that we reflect the character of God out there in the world. So he says, be fruitful and multiply. So there's a purpose within the male and female.
Mm-hmm.
So together, and this can't happen through a male-male relationship or a female-female relationship. This can only happen in a male-female relationship. Be fruitful and multiply. So there's a purpose in this union.
Yes.
And that purpose is to move forth the species, to multiply, to have it move forward. That was what God put at the very beginning, that we were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.
Yeah.
And then we subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds and everything that moves upon this earth. It's a powerful picture, isn't it?
Oh, my. It everybody has this idea of what nirvana or some Eden is like. But just think about, if you can, a man and a woman having been created and told that they now have dominion and they can walk through the earth. And all of the animals obey them.
Yes. And that was freely. What it was like in the garden.
Absolutely. They do this freely of their own volition as such. And Adam and Eve, again, are stewarding all these creatures and stewarding their own race, you know, their own species. And it's almost beyond us, because this kind of perfection is just unavailable to us today. Moses does this wonderful job of declaring it and saying, this is what God intended.
Absolutely. Now, in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, we see some more detail about this creation story, specifically man and woman, male, female. So in verse 18 of chapter 2, then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. And I will make him a helper fit for him. And that's what he did. And so
yes.
down in verse 21, so the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs that then closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." So this isn't a second creation story.
No.
This isn't something that he did subsequent to what we read about in Genesis chapter 1. This is just more of the detail. This is more of what happened. And
yeah, I like to think of chapter 1, especially the Adam and Eve part, as the what, and this is the why and how.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. So he took, he made Adam fall asleep. He took a rib from him, and out of this rib he created woman. I think we see a equality in that in that process, that they were to be side by side, equal in value in all respects from God's vantage point. And we see something here that that Adam recognizes. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, that we're to be together. And so he calls her woman. Now, this word woman, it can be translated in numerous ways, woman or female. It can be translated wife, and I think that's probably what Moses had in mind here, or simply female. It can be used in several other ways, but those are the three major ways it's used in the Hebrew language.
Yeah, it's almost a play on words, because the word for man, I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, please forgive me, word for man is ish, and the word for woman is isha.
That's right.
And it just, you know, Moses has to coin this word, or these words, in order to catch the relationship. And it's kind of an interesting thing.
That's exactly right. And then it's a therefore in verse 24 and 25. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, or cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So here's marriage spelled out for us. So Adam didn't have a mother or father. He was created. But he lays the groundwork for how these relationships were to take place in the future. So he says that a man shall leave his father and mother. So a man's identity is derived from his parents, and that's who he is. But there's a point in time where he says, I'm going to leave the protective care of my mom and dad. I'm going to leave the identity of that of that entity, and I'm going to go and form another. And so he chooses a woman, and he cleaves to her. He holds fast to her. And what does that mean? It means to cling to. It means to join with. It means to stay with.
Yes.
So it's not, hey, I'm just going to come and we'll have some fun together and then I'll leave. No, this is clinging to, joining to, staying with. That's what God set up from the very beginning. And it says the two shall become one flesh. This is an intimate relationship where the two of you can stand together in such a way, be naked in front of each other, and not be ashamed.
Yeah.
This is God's grand design from the very beginning, and what we're going to learn is that other writers in the New Testament are going to expand out on that and to show us what that really means in practical application. And we just cannot wait to move through this and really lay this out for you. Well, we've come to the end of this first session of God.
Not enough
Grace,
time.
No, not at all, of the Grace Guide to Marriage. We'll be back next Friday with the second installment. But in the meantime, we want you to have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus. We'll be back on Monday with another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll look forward to joining with you again at that time. And now for Richard and all the ministry team here at Basic Gospel, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus.